Well, I need the Lord's help this morning, and so I ask that you would pray that the Lord would bless His Word. It's my desire that it would be more to us than just an intellectual or emotional interchange, but I pray that the Lord would speak to us according to something in Scripture that is very special, that is very unique. Light to speak, as I've written on the board, on the exceptionalism of God's church. The word exceptional means the condition of being different from the norm, being above average, an exception, something that is rare. It's an idea that we hear used, that word, sometimes with the word American. American exceptionalism, perhaps, is a phrase that we've heard used before. And I want to consider a little bit of the idea behind that. My burden is not to espouse the exceptionalism of our nation, although I believe that we are a very blessed people by the nation that we live in. You know, there were a people who traveled to these shores, 400 years ago or so, with a desire to escape oppression, control, tyranny, with the hopes of liberty. And it was the dawning of a new nation, in a way of a new experiment of this nation, whether a people could so govern themselves by these ideas and principles of liberty drafted in really relatively few pages of documentation, whether it could last very many years or not. And I thank the Lord for the years that it has lasted. But some of those ideas that were enshrined in those documents and have been the hopes of many people coming to this land, some on rafts across the Caribbean, some by foot. Many, many are the stories of those who have traveled to this nation, and this isn't a story that is exclusive only to our nation, but it's the one with which I am most familiar. Many people, many families have pulled up everything that they've known to travel to this land with the hopes of something that is different than the average, different than what's normal for many, many people in our world, not only today but throughout time. Some of those unique ideas are the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, the freedom of assembly and of religion, the idea that our freedoms are not granted to us by a government, but that our freedoms are given to us by Almighty God, to be defended and protected by the government. The right against self-incrimination, habeas corpus, the right of an individual to not be indefinitely or wrongly held, so that a government can't just at will of an opposition take someone prisoner and hold them indefinitely. You see, these are ideas that are not, though we may be very familiar with them, and it may be normal to us, to many, many people in the world, it's not the norm. It is something only to be dreamed of. The idea that somebody could do what we see so often in our nation today, going right before the White House or Congress on the steps, protesting for the media to proclaim whatever they desire to proclaim, well, it's not only that it's written in our Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence and the rights and freedoms given to man that were enumerated in that or in our Constitution. There are a lot of nations that have written similar freedoms in their constitutions. But it's not just about what's written on paper. It's about what is actually practically available and realized in that nation. I was speaking with Brother Veda just, I believe it was this morning, the constitution of the nation which he comes from guarantees the freedom of religion, but on the streets, it's far from that. The idea that political authority rests in the hands of the people, that a government is to be accountable unto the people. Now, I'll add a caveat here. With any of these things that I mention, you might say, it's not exactly what I'm seeing. But I want us to realize, and we'll get into it maybe a little bit more, that a failure to live to the ideals does not mean that the ideals are flawed or broken. The fact that we have checks and balances of power in our nation, a bicameral legislature, some checks and balances of legislation that has passed through our government. And again, bear with me. I'm not an authority, and I'm not here to talk about American government. But I want to lay this as something of a foundation. Many nations are bound together and united by a strong leader. I think that's not the case for us. It wasn't intended to be the case for us. Power was not supposed to be consolidated in one central figure or person. Some of those nations are bound by common ethnicities, common stories. But you know, America has always been something of a melting pot of all kinds of ethnicities, backgrounds, and stories that come together and are united by these ideals of freedom. And it was a mixture of Native Americans, of Europeans, of Africans, and Asians, and etc. that made up this nation. Now, I add to a comment that I made a moment ago, not everybody realized the ideals of this nation. There were some that came to its shores in chains. But it nonetheless did not change the merit of those ideals. What we see is a sinful people who failed to live to God's plans and even their own. I'd like to turn now to the book of Psalms, the 87th chapter. Psalms 87 and the first verse says, His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth, what is it, the USA? The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, thou home of the free, the song that we sing from that. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. David said that it'll be counted up that this man was born there. You know, national pride or patriotism, again, isn't something unique to America. Many nations have things that make their nation unique, which they are proud. You know, there was something about being born here in Zion, Jerusalem, that was special. It said, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there. We read through Scripture, and I don't want to belabor it, but we read things like this of Mount Zion. You know, that isn't located over in Jerusalem. There's been a change in this dispensation to a heavenly Jerusalem that cometh from above, which is free, which is the mother of us all, speaking of something that God Himself will and did establish. So what does that mean? When it says the highest Himself shall establish her. You know, that which man establishes, man can take down. What God establishes, man cannot take down. And Daniel got a vision of that, of a kingdom that would be established in the time of Christ that would not be left to another people. It would not be torn down. It would not be taken over by despots. That there would not be a transfer of power to another. His glory would not be given unto another, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, this is speaking about in our day, God's church, His creation, His founding in this world. It is not of a day and an age to come, but this kingdom and this church was preached from the time of John the Baptist, established by Christ Himself. And folks, the gates of hell have never yet, nor will they ever, prevail against the church of the living God. Psalms, the 48th chapter, says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King." The ideals in our nation that people have fought for and died for and defended, many have thought surely everybody the world over would want and embrace these ideals. And some people have said, "Go back home. We don't want you." But I'm going to tell you, there's something that God established in this world that is the hope of all mankind, that transcends culture and nationality and background, but is made up of every nationality, of every kindred the world over. And it's beautiful. Do you see the beauty today of God's church? I realize that over the years, as the enemy has tried to create counterfeits and as man has put their hand to the design many, many times, it has resulted in confusion, disillusionment, discouragement, and despair of whether there really even is still a pure and a holy people of God. But I thank God for the city of God, for the mountain of His holiness that is exalted. Well, we'll get to that later. The city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. As we have heard in verse 8, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Folks, this isn't just an abstract idea. That there is still a people, and has been since the time of Christ, a remnant that still love God and are still living to all they know and understand, whose lives are characterized by holiness and who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, it still exists in our land today. It's not just a pie in the sky, wishful thinking, or euphoric, utopic idea. The Scripture says, as we have heard, can I say I? As I have heard, so have I seen in the city of the Lord. In the city of our God, God will establish it. He is the glory round about His city, His people. Let Mount Zion, in verse 11, let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Oh, I want to be able to tell my children about this. And I don't want to have to tell them about it in past tense. I remember a great nation. I remember a great city. Folks, the city of God will endure and stand through all the test of time. I want it to be counted that I was born there. Well, how do you immigrate to this city? To those who are bound in chains and fetters, ruled by dictators who long for freedom. I have to agree with our founders on this, that I believe it's just something that God's given to mankind to want to be free. You know, there's an even greater freedom than a freedom of this body. There's a freedom of the soul that is not found in the religions of man. It is not about religion. It is about deliverance and salvation that comes only by a new birth in Jesus Christ. So just as it will be said that this man was born there and the Lord Himself will write it down. Folks, the God Almighty is the one that keeps the attendance, or the membership rather. He's the one that writes it down. Not whenever I pass a knowledge test or the majority agrees that I should be accepted. Folks, there is one who sees the heart, who appeals to every soul in this world and to everyone that reaches out and says, yes, Lord, and whose sins are plunged beneath the blood. They are born again, and they are born into something that is of heavenly origin, something that isn't maintained and kept by man's doings, by man's logs or registries. The Lord Himself keeps us. You see, these are things that are unique. You may say it doesn't sound too new, unique to me. I've always heard these things. How blessed you are if you've always heard these things. Because this is unique in our world. And there is a danger. There is a danger of taking for granted the things that God has given to us. We're in a time today that we hear in our nation about cancel culture. It's time to topple some statues, erase some names. Well, I'm not here to defend the people who are represented by those statues or their names. But you know, the enemy is trying to engage in cancel culture as well. The enemy is trying to diminish the distinction of God's body, of the church of God, in people's minds. To try to create the idea that if you say it's something unique, why, that's prideful. Who are you to say that the church of God is something unique and special? Everybody says that. Well, first of all, it's not the church of Clint. It's the church of God, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's where we get our name. And we won't read the scriptures, but you can read it throughout scripture under the church of God. Feed the church of God, which is at Corinth, for example. Oh, folks, I'm glad to bear the name of my Father. Glorious things are spoken of thee. I believe it's important for us to understand and to walk about Zion. We can only do so little justice to it this morning. But I pray the Lord to help each one of us to have a vision of the church of God. To have a vision of what God established. It is the joy of the whole earth. Because in her is deliverance. God takes joy in Mount Zion. He said, all my streams are in thee. Even of a nation, and I hope we're seeing the parallel that I'd like to try to pull together. A nation of people just a few generations removed from the idea of bondage can so quickly lose sight of how special freedom is and begin to cede little by little those same freedoms. Mentioned there have been many immigrant stories. Those who have come up under despots and dictators and fled for freedom. But their children, and even more so their grandchildren, didn't come up under that. And don't know firsthand what it is to be brought up under that. I don't think you should have to be brought up under dictatorship to appreciate freedom. Folks, let me tell you something. You don't have to go out into the world. And you don't have to go out into Babylon to try for yourself and see. Let's do a comparison here. Folks, what is of the Lord's establishing can't be improved upon. What God built and established can't be improved on. So what I want to come back to is what a mention of this nation where people can say, but my forefathers didn't have that experience. If you see something different, don't discount the pattern. Folks, if you see among the people of God something that does not match the pattern, do not throw away the pattern. Don't assume it doesn't work. And it is for all of us. Born into this, raised in this, generation after generation, or first coming among the saints, to compare ourselves to the pattern. Lord, do I measure up? Do I meet the high standards that you set of the church of God? This is our rule of faith. You know, that's one of the things that makes the church of God unique. Is that this is our only creed. You want to know what the rules of the church of God are? You want to know how to become a member in good standing? You got it right here. You want to settle a dispute? You want to know where the highest authority is? It's found right here. Folks, you can't improve upon it. It doesn't need amendments as our Constitution received. There will not be a time that we can justly look to the Word of God, to the pattern of the Church of God, and say, you know what? Our founder overlooked a few things. We need to make a few amendments to be able to keep it modern. Folks, our God makes no mistakes. And the things, the ideals, if I can still use that word, the doctrines, the principles of the church of God are timeless. They worked in AD 32. They worked in the 1500s. They worked in 1880. And they work still today. Where there is no vision, Proverbs 29 and 18 says, the people will perish. My burden today is that we won't lose our vision of the beauty of God's church and the exceptionalism of His plan. That His church, His kingdom, truly is exceptional above all the creatings of man. Let's look at Isaiah 26. Verse 1. Isaiah 26 and 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates of the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Oh, ye have a... We have a strong city that God Himself built. The walls and the bulwarks are not built by man. They're not man's doctrines, creeds, dogmas, and ideas, because those things change with time. The bulwarks and the walls of this city are strong because they're fortified and kept by Almighty God Himself. It is salvation. You're born into the church of God by salvation. And the Lord is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. Folks, the Lord is able to defend us and to keep us. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Oh, the government of this city, the government of this nation, of this church does not rest on your and my shoulders. Thank the Lord. It rests upon His shoulders. And He has never lost a battle, by the way. Nor will that record change. Oh Lord, help me to stay within the protections of His plan. Isaiah, the second chapter. The second verse says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. If our identity goes no further than the sign that we have in front of our chapel, it is shallow indeed. And it is worthy to compare to any other building with a similar sign on their door, whatever name it might bear. But folks, there's something that's written on more than just signs above a door. There's something that's written on fleshy tables of heart that cannot be erased by man. There is something genuine and real that's not just plastered over, but that's written on the very heart of the members. And it is not just... Hence the idea of exceptionalism. It is not just one among many. It is not just a copycat. Folks, the Church of God was not founded by Brother D.S. Warner. Thank the Lord for him and what the Lord did through him. But he wasn't our founder. Was in a nation, another country one time, where the ministers there didn't know me very well. They wanted to meet with me and ask me some questions, and they had a couple questions. One of them was, are you in agreement with Brother D.S. Warner? I said, let me tell you, what I believe goes back further than that. It goes all the way back to the cross. You see, folks, these are not just a hope to us. These are not just abstract ideas. Folks, there is a reality to this. There is a practicality that can be lived out in our day-to-day lives. It says that this mountain will be established in the top of the mountains and exalted above the hills. There are many hills in our religious world today. There are many places that have been erected by mankind. Many places where somebody has gotten a hold of some of the truth, thank the Lord. And begin to erect something, though, in their own image. But in the midst of it all, God established and founded a mountain that rises above it all. You can fly across the northern part of India and you'll see to the north a vast mountain range and one mountain that protrudes above it all, Mount Everest. Folks, well, across a lot of India, you'll see a a haze that settled over the nation. You know, there is a mountain that rises above all of that haze, and it's clear. And the air, I've never been up there. I don't expect I ever will be. But the air, as thin as it is, I'm pretty sure is pure and clean. And folks, there is a spiritual mountain of the Lord, the church of the living God that He Himself established right in the midst of our modern day religious confusion that is still a reality today, where we can stand atop the mountain and be able to see the truths of His Word that need not be obscured from us. We sing a song sometimes in our book. There's a mighty reformation sweeping o'er the land. You know, we can sing that, and perhaps to some of us that can seem so distant. A mighty reformation sweeping o'er the land. Folks, the truths of the evening light, this reformation still goes on. And Lord, help us to be able to see clearly, to be able to have a spiritual vision, which I myself can't give you. And this is something that's given and revealed by God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you can't see it unless you're born again. You're not going to see it. It's not going to make sense to you. And Peter, when he confessed to who Christ was, Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you. You're not going to be able to learn and grasp the truths of God's Word in their fullness as the Lord wants to make available unto us through seminary or man's learnings. It's revealed to us by God from above, and He's still willing to do that today. Flesh and blood hadn't revealed it, but my Father in heaven. And He said unto Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not upon Peter's name or Peter himself, but upon this revelation that you've had, Peter, upon your confession, Peter, upon this revelation to your heart, upon this will my church be built, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. A skeptical and unbelieving world may undermine and scoff by the way. They will the way of the cross, because the way of the cross is foolishness to those that are in the world. And I'm going to tell you, the cross has wondrous glory if we'll but see it. It is the way that the Lord founded. It is the way to our freedom. Any deficiencies that we see is not a deficiency in the plan or a deficiency in the glory available unto us, but perhaps a deficiency in man. So I'd like to think about just a flyover. Some of those things, like I mentioned, of our nation that people have quoted, that I believe make God's creation here unique and exceptional. I've already mentioned that membership and admission is kept and maintained by God Himself. That's exceptional, and it is unique. Faith in God, in His church, is more than words, but something that you should be able to see lived out in practical application in people's everyday lives. There is an unnatural love that is shed abroad in the hearts of God's people, that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Oh, I want people to be able to see that as part of the shining city on a hill. There is to mark the people of God from the ministers on up a humility. In the church of God, there is not to be a system set up that exalts mankind, that lifts and exalts a ministry. It is not a system that is conducive to building egos. The Lord knows how to keep us humble. Folks, the Lord was never interested in building an empire of mankind. He was never interested in sharing His glory with mankind. But that all in all things Christ may have the preeminence among us. And it is to be that way. We all are brethren in Christ. Folks, that is exceptional. And again, these things not because I'm here. It's because God has created it. When it comes to American exceptionalism, that phrase, I've heard it said also by people who espouse that phrase, that it's not that Americans are of a better and a superior DNA. It's not that we're of a higher intellect than all the rest of the world. But it's that, again, the ideals that we subscribe unto and that we live under are exceptional. When it comes to the exceptionalism of God's church, it is not that we think we're better than anyone else. Because what God has made available to us, He's made available the world over. It's available to all mankind. You don't have to have a degree to get a hold of it. All mankind can get a hold of it. So it's not that I'm exceptional. It's that God's church is exceptional. Where Christ is exalted and not man's creeds, where people are led of God. You know, we don't need the ministers to tell you where you're going to live and who you're going to marry. We don't need the ministers to tell you how much you need to give, to whom you need to give it. There's a better plan than that. Folks, talk to the founder about all that. Go talk to Jesus about it. Whatever the Lord tells you to give, you give that. I don't need to know. I don't need to tell you what to give. The Lord's better at directing His church than I am. Where Holy Spirit leadership can be and is a reality. Folks, there is a liberty that comes where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty that is not for us to take for granted, but to value and to cherish Holy Spirit leadership in our midst. Holy Spirit leadership requires a people who are led by the Holy Spirit. It is the leadership of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. I don't need in my congregation to go and say, "Brother so-and-so, I'd like for you to testify. And if you could say something along these lines, and here are the three or four songs that I think would be appropriate. And by the way, I'm going to publish what my message is. And when we get to camp meeting, there will be a camp meeting leader or a ministerial hierarchy that the ministers submit ahead of time. Your messages for review and approval, and then we'll decide which message we think needs to go where." I hope we realize these things that we as saints' children, if I can put it that we're so accustomed to, we can take for granted and assume that everybody does it this way. It's not the case. Folks, the Holy Spirit is able to move on your heart to stand up and testify, to call the song that needs to be called. The Lord knows what He's doing. This is His church. It's His body. And folks, there have been times that it seemed like the democracy of our nation has been threatened, and it has. And the threats aren't finished. There have been many times that the freedoms, that the very structure and underpinnings of the church of God seem to be threatened. Times that are very troublesome times when men's hearts begin to fail them for fear. Look unto the founder. Keep your eyes on the Lord and He'll bring you through all the troublesome times. Folks, this foundation is not going to crumble if we'll stay founded upon this foundation. Where the gospel is preached in its fullness, not tailored to the audience, to who is there or who isn't there, or who I know gives the most money or doesn't give, and what they might not be able or want to hear. Folks, as soon as we begin doing that, you can expect the glory of the Lord and the anointing and inspiration to lift from us as His people. Oh Lord, inspire us with the Word of God. For us to stand as ministers in the counsel of God and say, Lord, You know what is needed. Lord, burn into my heart what You would have. The Scripture says of the church of God that it is the pillar, that you ought to know how to behave yourself in the church of God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is underpinned by, supported by the Word of God, the truth in its entirety. There ought not be anything that we stand on that is not defensible by the Word of God. Upheld by the Word of God and upholding the Word of God in all that we do and say. I'd like to turn to Revelation. Revelation, the 18th chapter. The church of God is exclusive. Remember Brother Salmon's saying one time, there's not a sinner in her. Folks, if it was my church, I couldn't guarantee that. I couldn't know that. I couldn't say it. But in the church of God, that's the one exit ticket. There's no sin in the church of God. And part of this truth is a gospel message that preaches and teaches to us that there is a grace available to lift us up above ourselves and above sin, and to be raised to a higher plane of grace and of sin-free living in Christ and holiness, because that's what characterizes this mountain. So it is exclusive. It's not that I can keep anybody out, nor do I want to. God keeps the membership. But you know it's equally inclusive. You know the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come. The beacon of freedom and spiritual liberty shines out to all mankind and is the hope of all the earth. Scripture says in one place, while they themselves promise them liberty, they are servants of corruption. Folks, I want something that works. And this works. I'm going to tell you it works, and it still works in our day and in our time. If we become discouraged, if I say, you know, I just don't quite see it like that. Oh, Lord, help me to lift up my eyes, not to have them set on people, to look upon Mount Zion, this beautiful plan and pattern. All right, Revelation, the 18th chapter. Revelation 18 and 4 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. It is speaking of Babylon, which in simple terms is false religion of mankind, under whatever brand or flavor you might find it. The invitation was come out. Come out of her, and I want us to notice it says, my people. What are you saying? If I don't go to church where you are, I'm not saved. No, I'm not saying that. He sent a message to His people that were scattered abroad across the face of the earth. But He had a message to send out. Oh, my people, come out of her. Come out of her. It is safe instruction for me to give you. Measure what you see Measure what you hear taught and preached against the Word of God. And if it doesn't align, come out. Come out of her, my people. Come out of the religions of mankind. Come out of the churches of man. Don't partake of her ways and of her sins. The enemy is trying to make it look so appealing and enticing today that it is, this is the lie of the enemy, that it's what the world wants. But I would propose to you, the world doesn't want more of what it already has. The world is yearning for freedom. The world is yearning for liberty in Christ, yearning for a spiritual home where I can be fed and nourished by the pure Word of God. We don't need to become the world to reach the world. But the invitation was for all the world to come out. That is still, I firmly believe, a message of 2023. It wasn't left in 1880. It's still the message of our time. Come out of her. Don't be partakers of the ways of the world. We see, have seen sometimes where people who have escaped nations and come to this nation, some have truly cherished the liberties that they found, and others have thought to bring with them some of the very ways that brought them into bondage. Folks, we must not bring into the church of God the ways, the trappings of man's religion. It bondages. It enslaves. But thank God for the exceptionalism of His church.